Woke up, puke everywhere. I start walking down and realize the place is closed. Don't have my phone. And I'm walking out, I puke on my jacket, and it's pretty cold.
A podcast and the Latino with a podcast, Christian Hennings-Meyer, and I am with Karina Larson. That I must say, like, I started doing comedy 2020 before COVID, and I believe you were one of the first person that I admire in the comedy scene. I was like, dude, like, you were hosting the open mic at Norbar, and I was like, this is what I want to do.
Oh, so I didn't know that you started when you came here. I thought you.
I mean, I started like in Venezuela, but yeah. I started in English in 2020. And
yeah, I guess that's a pretty much a brand new start.
Exactly. Like, I have to change everything.
Wow.
I don't know. I remember you with braces for some reason.
Did
you?
No, I wish. I'm not that rich, but someday.
But I don't know why I do remember you with braces.
Really?
Like okay, weird reason. But
nope.
Now she's so living now in Minneapolis.
I do live in Minneapolis now, but when you switch from doing comedy in Venezuela to doing it here in English, did you rewrite completely new jokes, or did you try and take your same setup and just translate it?
At the beginning, I tried to like change jokes that I have in Spanish to English, and it worked, but slightly, because I believe culture is so different.
Yep.
Like, I have one example in particular that is like pinpoint the situation, because now I just write in English. But I had one joke that Latin comedy is more like sexual, and they like to make a lot of fun of the LGBT community.
and
the trans, yeah. a joke is not a joke if you're like, por marico. Okay, por marico will be because he's gay. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't do that here.
Exactly. I remember, had one joke. I had one joke, and the joke works, but one of them didn't have something to do with someone being gay, and it was like, that's the last punchline. It's like, the two previous punchlines, like, they work, and when I said this, I felt people being like,
we don't do that here anymore.
Yeah, like
Venezuela sounds fun, though.
You just want to go to Venezuela, like, you blend in. But you got to say marico.
Marico? Marico.
Marico y mamagüeo. Sí, dice marico y mamagüeo.
Whoa, what'd you call me?
Mamagüeo.
Okay, mamagüeo.
Huevo.
Mamagüelo.
Huevo.
Mamagüevo.
There you go.
What am I saying?
She's Venezuelan.
Sorry, I don't know what I said.
Passport.
Am I canceled?
Here's your passport. Venezuelan passport.
Headliner there now.
What was the joke? Oh, and okay, this was the joke. I have two jokes. One, the third punchline didn't work, and the other, it was not at all against gay people, not at all. But it have one question that implied that. And I remember
it was a misdirect.
Like, it was a misdirection. Yeah. It was never like offensive, but
people actually listened, yeah, but they wanted to shut down before you got to your.
Yeah, I say the question, they're like, "What the fuck you're gonna say now?"
I was like, "Well, I was saying it, but you already decided to be mad."
Yeah, it was. I hate when people introduce when people say stuff that you don't need, information that you don't need. And the example was my friend introducing me to her friends. And it's like, she's Karinda, he's Brian, and he's Manuel, my gay friend.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't need to know that he was gay. Why would you say that to me? And in this moment, people are like, well, you didn't need to know. What is the problem with Manuel being gay? It's like, wait. I'm just saying, why she gave me that information? Yeah. Why is she revealing her sexuality?
It would be like, and this is my friend Brian, my divorced friend.
Yeah,
you know? And he's recently widowed. And it's like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
the joke ends me being like, I hope they do that, but with things you actually need to know. Like, he's my friend Brian. He never gives him money. He doesn't give it back. It's like, okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that.
That's the punchline. But
don't believe anything Brian says.
He always lies.
A liar. Yeah, okay, thank you.
Don't ever give him a hoodie. He will steal it. Like, yeah. I will need that information.
Yeah.
But as soon as I said, he's gay, people were like,
what are you going to say here? Well, that's the blue bubble. We're listening. And like,
how's Minneapolis with that?
No, they're worse.
They're gay.
Yeah, gayer. No, it's they're progressive there. That's very much a blue bubble like here. It's liberal, but to me, it's almost like in a fake way. Like, it's a lot more classist and a lot more like, what's it called? I'm skipping on the term right now.
Joggers.
Like runners. The white saviors.
This doesn't make sense with what you're trying to say. You're really bad at charades.
They're like
you know, they're like.
Like, there's a word for it, like a term, like the white saviors. Or not. That's not the one I'm thinking of. Edit this out. This
gays. Mama huevo.
No, virtue signalers. Virtue signalers.
Okay, I don't
know. So this is
know
the thing.
Okay.
There's a term for this. So it's the people who like go on Facebook or talk about, I would never do, they're like, want to cancel everyone all the time. And they're always talking about how good of a person they are kind of thing.
Okay.
The virtue signalers. And you see a lot of that on stage, like pandering of like.
And there's a lot of them.
Oh, it's so much like, and I see a lot of that here too, of you cannot even hint at being red or being conservative, otherwise people get mad at you, or people will write jokes pandering to like the blue side or Democrats, and I'm just like,
I don't
make fun of everyone, make fun of both sides, exactly. And that's what comedians are supposed to do. But in Chicago, it's more, I guess, edgy. People are still like leaning blue a lot, but they will push the line more than I've ever seen in Minneapolis. They're just like, if you vote for Donald Trump, like, that's
get
a punchline.
Back to your Chicago.
It's always a punchline if you just say like, oh, like blah, 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 Donald Trump, who would vote for them? And everyone's like, ha! It's like it's hack and like
get back to your Chicago. Like it's like sending back to your country, but they send you back to your Republican state.
Yeah, but they're both blue states anyway. It's just interesting how like close they are, but how very different that people carry themselves and represent themselves.
I usually don't talk about politics, but I just want to ask because we're near. How do you feel about November?
I'm so happy because I can do my jokes again that I was doing 4 years ago. I was like bringing them back. They're so relevant. Nothing has changed. I just got better. Yeah, I got more taste now. I think every comedian feels that way. Of like, oh,
bring it back.
Yeah, same. We got Donald Trump. We got Joe Biden in the mix now. We know more about Kamala now.
Like, you just need maybe a little Bush. It's like, dude, that will be perfect. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I have so many
George
Bush
W.
jokes.
Bush. Yeah, bring him. He was funny on his own.
Bring him back.
Yeah. Is our children educated?
I
used to give people an extra minute if they quoted their favorite, funniest George W. Bush quote. Did you guys hear about him in Venezuela?
Yeah.
He's a clown. He's so funny.
Well, not that much. Like, but if you see Chavez.
He's funnier.
Dude, Chavez was crazy
but scary.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Like, there's a video of him that there's like a powdered milk. For some reason, there was like a shortage of power of milk. And there's a video with him saying like that was false. And he grabbed one of the package and he put it over his head. And he continued the rest of the show with that on his head. Like,
okay.
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
You think we have a shortage? If we had a shortage, would I do this? Like, what the fuck?
Would I be able to do this if we don't have it? Like, what? I was like, that's my president. Yeah.
And you can't make fun of him or else.
We can.
You can?
We can still call. Dude, there's a video that I love about him that, There's like a kid that keeps talking in the audience, and like the mom is like, shh, the president is talking. It's like, and he's like, no, I love kids, bring the kids. Like, and the kids go on stage, and the kids has like, it's like a toddler, like 3 years old, four, and he's like eating a cookie. And the video, literally, the kid is like eating the cookie, and he's like, because kids are like that.
Yeah.
And the president just like grabbed his hand and put the hand of the kid in his mouth, and he's like, "What the fuck is happening?"
The whole hand.
And he's like, "What happened? Who voted for this?"
He's like, "Never been around a
and
kid
in
ever."
In Spanish, he said like, "Come." He says, but in Spanish, he said, "Come here, kid, to give you a kiss." But in Spanish, and with his voice, it sounds so weird, like.
Ven, carajito, para darte un beso.
He's like, what the fuck? Yeah, that's my president. Like, if you remind me, I'll show you a video later.
I need to see this.
I don't know. I don't know what is going to happen. But Trump is funnier, for sure.
He is funnier. We got the funniest president.
But Kamala has done some funny stuff.
I haven't really even watched. I watched the debate, the Joe Biden Trump debate on accident. I was just hungover on the couch on TV. I was trying to sleep and I just couldn't look away. I'm like, is this happening? Like, am I imagining this?
I love what there was a part that they were like, I can hit that ball for 200 yards. Would you be able to hit that ball?
I was by myself, and I was like, this is, I'm making this up.
It's like the debate is like about like, oh, children are dying. Yeah, but he can, like, I made a pair on a 300 yard course. Can he do that? I can do that. And it's like, what are you talking about?
And I couldn't understand most of it. Either one of them are hard to like understand, honestly, comprehensively. And I was like, am I hearing this correctly? I sure was.
America.
Hang on.
Yeah. That's with jalapeno. If you don't like spices, like that. Well,
Minnesota.
I just want to tell you guys who are listening. I don't know how many people are there, but I make a bunch of stuff that are delicious, carnivorous stuff. And when I was done, I remember that she's vegetarian. But at the end, I was like, God damn it.
You can eat it in front of me. I don't care. This is a good spread. Just like what I eat every day. Cheese and hummus and olives.
And this is queso fresco.
Okay.
No, this is panela. Queso panela, that is good. And this is like feta.
Okay. We got a nice spread.
So we got
fresca, feta, brie
and gorgonzola.
Okay.
Cheers.
Chin.
Your episode 25.
Yeah, good number.
Which is a good number. I for some reason it feels like a milestone.
It does. Quarter of something, however many you do.
Yeah, if it is a wedding, what kind of wedding would it be?
I don't know.
You're so useless for this podcast. God damn it. Okay. Wedding 25.
I have never, not been even close to being
silver.
Married.
Silver, your model silver.
Have you been married?
No, have you?
No, not even close.
Would you?
Married? Would I? Yeah. I don't know if I found someone that liked me. No, I'm like the Michael Jordan of breakups, okay? But I don't have any rings. Do you know who Michael Jordan is?
I was waiting for this moment for so long, but
that's
you
what
moved.
I'm like. I think people our age are doing it now for more material. I don't know. How old are you?
31.
Okay, 32. My comedy friends that are getting married, I'm like, are you doing this because you're in love?
Because you want to be with my fucking wife.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, best case scenario, get divorced and have divorce material.
This is not the way.
maybe some kids to talk about.
Is this for love or for comedy? This is for comedy. You can give it. Like, I can keep, like, I usually bring topics, and one of the topics I brought is that I believe, I've seen it lately, makeup has gone to a point that is too deceiving.
Oh, yeah. With especially the kids. So I worked with elementary schoolers.
I'll show you. People like listening, you got to find this person. But for people who are watching, I'm going to show you Jorge Chacon. Okay? I'm going to... Because I've been like sending this to friends, like, hey, would you kiss this person without the username? Wait, okay. What do you think?
It's a very hot looking lady.
Well, it is a guy.
Oh yeah.
It is a pretty hot looking guy.
Has he transitioned or have they transitioned?
No, his name is Jorge, and he identifies himself as a guy, but. He's just, like, he's hotter than a lot of women that I know.
Yeah, so I think that's just good genetics. So I think this is just, like, you know, people are born, like...
But still, like, makeup helps a little bit here.
Oh, absolutely. But my concern with makeup is not even the trans world or the LGBTQ world. Mine is with the kids who are, like, 13, 14-year-old girls at middle school who get really good at putting on... makeup, like your face is a canvas, you know, and like Some people do it and they look like a clown, but some people do it and they contour. They look so much older. They look like they're 25 and they're 14, you know? And I'm like,
You're afraid you're going to.
Oh, just me even as a bartender.
A 14-year-old.
No, not date. Just like, you know, I card people when I can and should, but just like,
But imagine for a guy. For a guy,
exactly.
Will be worse.
Exactly. And like, you know, like, I'm not a saint. Like, I was sneaking into bars before I was of age and like.
We got her.
I'm 32 now. I think there's like a law of limitation. What's that? Like a statute of limitations on that. I'm from Wisconsin too. Okay. You can drink when you're 12.
I started drinking it when I was, I believe, 14. Like,
what's the
regularly.
Law in Venezuela? You have money, you can drink.
Yeah. Okay. You can even buy the alcohol. Like, yeah. Like, I remember going to a liquor store at 16 and you just buy the liquor and they don't ask for shit. Like, they're like, you have money? Okay, take.
Yeah, because you're.
How old are you?
12?
That's old enough. Yep. That's you can tax. Order this, so you can.
That's
have
a minority
it.
Tax. Yeah. You're not of age, so they know they can just steal all your money.
Yeah, I remember once we bought like 2 bottles of wine and we were drinking from the bottle. Like, but like walking, let's say, like 4-3 miles, we were just like drinking on the street, and we were 16, and the other guy was like 17, and no one bothers you.
No
it's
cares.
Like, it's like, no one cares. Like, people, I believe if people saw us, they were like, yeah, I should buy wine.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, they know they're living their life.
How old were you the first time you got drunk? Do you remember?
14.
Who?
14, and I was in a quinceañeras.
Oh,
and
I've never been to quinceañeras.
Do you blackout?
Do I have? I try not to. Do you blackout?
Never.
Never.
The thing is, like, I forget details, but I don't forget.
Maybe
scenes.
You blackout and you just don't know. Oh, it's like you brown out. That's
like,
what they call
like,
it. You fade out.
After this, we're gonna make a pass. But it's like, let's say I get drunk here in the podcast, and then. Tomorrow I'll be like, why the breeze open? Like, what the fuck?
Oh, you forget
who fucking opened the breeze? Like, I know, like, I gave her Gorgonzola and the other two, but I forget totally that I opened the breeze, and it's like, did I open this drunk? Like, but it's like a detail. Like, I remember I put this. I remember everything. I remember the conversation, but I just don't remember that detail. Like, when I was 14, it was that I got in the bathroom. And I don't know if it was me or if he was already there, but someone puked on the floor. And I puked on the sink. For some reason, there was toilets, but I was like, no, I'm going to do the sink. So I puked on the sink. There was puke on the floor. And I cannot remember if it was me coming in, puking a little bit, then puking on the sink, or if that was already there. I believe it was already there. Because I remember I was careful to not step on it. I was like... drunk as fuck, but like careful.
Maybe it's like selective blackout that you're like, I would like to believe that. I mean, I'm not gonna think about it even
this
further.
Bye.
But I imagine like there are a bunch of other 14-year-old browned out kids.
Yeah, that they black out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna do a little pause, little pause, okay. And we're gonna continue with her story about blackouts. Her many.
I don't remember.
Fuck. Okay.
I gotta go.
Okay. We're coming back. And we're back. We were having some blackouts in the middle of this, and but she's gonna tell her, yeah, to herself, the story about the last time you remember you blackout.
The biggest time I ever blacked out, I was
12.
No. Oh my gosh.
I was with my uncle.
I was like 24, 25. I was pretty new to the city, only here a couple years. And I was dating someone I had met at improv class through the Second City.
Would you say dating someone in improv is a good idea or not?
Yeah, he ruled. He was funny. It was okay. I didn't know anyone when I moved here, and we were good buddies. I loved his parents. I still love them. They still come to comedy shows and very supportive when I come into town. Right. But we... they were hosting some family from out of town. Like, they had like a niece or a cousin in. So he went to dinner in Old Town near the Second City, and his mom loves to drink wine, and so do I. So we were drinking wine with dinner. Then we go to the Second City for a show, and my boyfriend and I run into someone that we took an improv class with.
Okay.
And he's there to see some other show, and he buys us Fireball shot and then a Manhattan. So then I went from wine to a shot of whiskey to a cup of whiskey. Okay. So, and I'm sitting in the show and we're watching it, and I'm like, you know me and you know my laugh. It's horrendous. It's heinous. It's loud.
It's a beautiful laugh.
Maybe, but the staff at the Second City did not think so that night. They kept coming up to me and they're like, ma'am, you need to be, you need to tone it down. And I'd never had this in a comedy show, being told that I'm laughing too loud. But they had to approach me like three times and they tried to order a drink and they're like, no, no, we don't think that's a good idea. So clever me, I was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I did that and I was on my way back. I'm like, oh, I'm going to stop at the bar since they won't serve me in there, and I'm going to be on my best behavior and get them to give me another Manhattan. One more cup of whiskey, please. So that's the last thing I remember, is ordering that. I woke up. I could not tell you what time it was, but it was, the establishment was closed. I woke up in a bathroom that's in the student section of the Second City, so nowhere near even where we were for the shows. So I must have like blacked out when I was drinking my second cup of whiskey, and my brain wandered to that bathroom because guess what? I know I threw up everywhere because I was the only one in that bathroom. So I woke up like puke everywhere, and it was like in a it was like a unisex like family bathroom. You know, I have the door locked. You know, like I can see how janitors or people didn't notice or realize I was in there because I went to a wing that wasn't even supposed to be open. And I woke up, puke everywhere. I start walking down and realize the place is closed. Don't have my phone. And I'm walking out, I puke on my jacket, and it's pretty cold. I don't remember what like month it was, but it was cold. And there's like a cab outside, and he looks at me, he won't let me in. And I'm like, please. And he's like, points to my jacket. He's like, you have puke on. He was like, okay. And I threw it in the garbage. And then he, thank God, luckily drove me to my boyfriend's house, like up north, and like dropped me off. I was able to get in like through his front door. He left his door unlocked, but he wasn't there because he was looking around Old Town for me. So I had gotten up from the show and just left and never came back. So he thought, so
yeah, you're dead.
Oh man. And then like, you know, he finally came home, you know, was like mad at me. I was like, I don't know, I was drunk. It was like the fair. But the next day I get a message on Facebook and I'm like, alcohol poisoning for sure, like can barely move and like lift my head up, and like we got your phone here at the Second City. And it took me 2 days to recover enough to be able to go back and get my phone, and I go to pick it up from the box office and it just said puke all over this, ew, on a bag outside it. And like, so I haven't been back to Second City.
Like, what the fuck?
No, I cannot go back to Second City, and I haven't blacked out.
You're not still banned from Second
City. I make a joke that I'm banned, but I'm not like I'm embarrassed.
You're embarrassed to come back.
They know, they found me on Facebook. Like, I'm sure they rotated staff through since then, but you know, I keep talking about it now. So anyway.
Nice. This is an amazing story. I'm gonna tell you one of the other topics that I have. Since we get into this one, we don't have to get into this one because I believe one story about puke is enough. Because the other one, I recently thought about. I believe everybody. It doesn't matter how they look, how they are. For example, I think you're a cute young lady. But everybody have a one story when they clog a toilet.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I have a four.
No, okay. This is the thing. Like, I've always been able to recover on my own, but I have lots of stories from, my sister. And then the best one is from my friend Wayne.
Let's go. Let's tell this one.
I was, like, living in my college town, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I lived in this, like, really, really old building. And he was, like, a slumlord. Like, they buy all these like real estate near the college, and they charge kids like $200 a room, but they never repair or fix anything. Yeah. So there's seven of us living in this old building that probably should have been condemned long ago. And I had a friend who was a firefighter, and like I was about 21, 22, and he was the same age, but he had gone to technical school, like right out of high school. So he was already like in his program, his degree. But he was palling around with us and our friend Wayne, which was like some day drinking or something good. And Wayne's up there for a while and like not coming down, not doing anything. And then he all of a sudden leaves. He's like, I just gotta go. He's like, and it, something came up, right? And he just fucked off, like whatever. We didn't think about it. Todd and I, the firefighter friend, same as Todd, sitting there and we're just drinking wine in the living room. All of a sudden the living room starts leaking. And I'm like, there's a leak in it? And, you know, he's just like, I'll go check it out. And he had clogged the toilet so bad it was overflowing. And he clearly had, like, tried to do some rescue or, try to save it. Didn't. And then just left and didn't tell us. What a- and I hadn't seen him since. And now I move it. Now I live in Minneapolis and he lives there now, too.
And you and haven't
he hit
seen
me,
him?
No, but he hit me up on Facebook. He's like, oh, you live here now? And I was just like...
Oh, yeah. Remember like, that time?
We no, I forgot about it because I was like, yeah, we should connect. We should like, we should link up, come to a show. I'd love to get a drink with you, and I forgot about it till right now when you brought that up.
So it's gonna be a good coming back to Minneapolis.
Yep, I think
what
so.
What is his name? What is his name again? Todd. No, Todd is the firefighter. What
yeah, Todd's the hero in this situation. Wayne is the villain.
Wayne. Okay. We're gonna tag Wayne.
Wayne fucked my toilet up and left, and then wants me friends again.
we're just gonna tag
Can
him.
Can you believe it? Yeah.
Here's a picture. It's just a picture of the toilet.
I'll tell you, Todd and Wayne, the hero and the villain.
No, but I mean you like clogging a toilet because. Like the last time I did it, it always happens. It doesn't happen in a regular situation. It's like you're in your house and you clog the toilet. No, it's like you're on vacation with 13 other people that you're meeting for the first time. It's always in those moments.
Yep. Well, just like 3 days ago,
this is so soon.
But it wasn't even us. My friend Nadine is also house sitting. We've got a friend who has a lot more money than us, and he owns like this mansion in the city. And she's house sitting there. I'm house sitting at my friend's place, and we're going out. And she's hosting someone from Italy right now, and she also has a new puppy. We go back to his. They win the mansion off, so we go back to their mansion. Dale McPeak and my friend Nadine, and I'll say their names because this just happened.
And we're gonna tag them. Yeah. They're gonna be tagging.
But we're there hanging out, like after partying, like whatever you do. And she's got a new puppy. So the puppy had like a little like little accident, and she has a guest visiting from Italy, and okay. He, being a nice guy, wipes it up with a paper towel and then throws it right in the toilet. Okay. And Nadine's like, "Oh, I know this toilet is sensitive, so we're not gonna."
I like that adjective for. I know this toilet, you know,
sensitive.
It's like
you have to be gentle with this toilet.
Gen Z toilet.
You have to approach this toilet with caution. So she's like, I'm gonna let that dissolve for a while, and she made an announcement to all of a sudden, like, yeah, got it. An hour and a half goes by. I'm like, I gotta pee. It's just a pee. Okay, so I go and I pee and I flush the toilet, and it's drama like right away. Of course,
as soon as you see the water just going up, you're like. No.
And then I'm a little drunk, but I'm also like feeling bossy and empowered and too smart because I'm like, Nadine, I'll show you how to fix a toilet when it's doing this. I learned this trick once from my stepdad. You take the back of the tank off and you pull it. And it was like, no, I don't want to go see like an overflowing toilet. That's going to make me sick. I'm like, no, I'm going to teach you something.
It's
going to
work. It's going to work.
And of course, I pick it up and I pull it up and it doesn't. Work so it starts like really starting to overflow almost, and then she saves the day. She like runs, like takes her a long time because it's a huge house. She starts running and finding a plunger and gets it down, and then we do that. But again, it was just a humbling experience of I thought I would be able to handle the situation and save the day.
And you're like,
and
no,
I made a whole big deal, and I bombed the situation real bad.
Like the last time I did it, I was in a it was me, my family, his family in like dinner, like on Christmas, something like that. It was close to Christmas and we were playing games. And I was like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom. On my defense, his fucking toilet is like a toddler toilet. It's like something that it's like this tall. Like, and
why
and
where were you at?
At my friend's house. It's
in where? Venezuela?
No, it's in Michigan.
Michigan?
Yeah. I don't know why his toilet is so small. It doesn't make so much sense. Like,
was it Flint?
No, it was not Flint. It's an Arbor.
Okay.
And I took my dump, and then like I see the water going up, and usually that toilet goes up
super up and then goes down. So I was like, oh, he's going to up. Okay, he's not stopping. He's not stopping. Yeah.
And at that time, you already lost your countdown time to find solutions.
Yeah, no, it overflowed, like not that much, but it overflowed. So I have to put the he had like a little carpet like away, and I have to go outside and be like, can you give me a mop for no apparent reason?
Yeah,
nothing
just,
happened.
Nothing.
And he's like, did you flood the toilet? It's like, yes, I did, but I'm going to fix it. I don't want you. Don't go there for the next 50 minutes. I'm going to be crying.
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing to
do
that.
It is. It is. But at least you didn't pull a Wayne. At least you took care of it yourself.
No, I was like, I'm going to take care of it. Just go. Yeah. Like, I don't want anyone to fix what just happened.
Yeah.
But then, like I just get, this is one thing that you should do. And with this, we're going to end the episode on whatever show, like, you're on. Well, this is gonna be, it's gonna be your Minneapolis show because this is gonna be out like in 2 weeks. But,
okay.
If you're getting bullied by for any circumstance, in this case it was because I fucking clogged the toilet and they were calling me names, bully yourself a lot first.
Mm-hmm.
After you bully yourself a lot first, they don't have like anything to say.
You take the good ones.
Yeah, every time they're like, oh, it's your turn. It's like, yeah, I'm glad it's my turn in the game and not in the bathroom because I'll clog that shit again. And they're like, I was going to say that.
You bury him. That's a real convenient. Get all the good ones out.
Yeah, like I just say it just in case they remember. And now they're like, no, we're over. Enough with the jokes of you clogging the toilet.
Have you done a roast battle before?
Yeah, I have.
So you're roasting yourself before they get any good
ones
out. Brilliant.
And I have one that, are you going to be here on the 29?
No,
you're
no, but
back on the
I'll be back next month. Who are you battling?
I'm going against Zoe Dodson.
I don't know who that is. Zoe Dodson?
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
So, any shows
you
have?
Are you
going to
crush her?
I don't know.
She's good. Are you scared?
Because going against women is difficult. Like,
why?
Because I can be like, oh, yeah, Karinda, and like whatever joke. That is amazing joke. She moved to Minneapolis because she couldn't handle comedy stand-up. Whatever.
Whoa,
joke is amazing.
Okay, you're roasting Zoe, not me. I'm your friend.
Wait.
I'm your wow.
But then, you're like, yeah, but you're in my DM. So, yeah, but you want to fuck me. Yeah, but you have a small dick. Yeah, you won. You won the interaction.
Whoa.
It doesn't matter what I said.
Hopefully Zoe's not listening to this. She's going to get some notes.
My joke can be amazing. Can be like the best joke ever. And you're like, but you have a small dick.
Do they live
and
stream?
And people are like, fuck.
You'll get it. And it's a different challenge. Like, I found like battling friends is its own, like real friends. Is its own challenge.
It's funnier.
It is, and it's just a good exercise for everyone. And you just remember it. It's about the audience. It's not about you.
I'm going to tell you some of the jokes I have, but we're going to end the episode. Whatever shows you have in Minneapolis.
Oh, I got, I run Shady Babies Monthly in the North Loop, which is like the popular part of town. And then I do a weekly show in the West Bank.
Tell to my 86 subscribers so far.
Yes, it's in the West Bank, which is a historical neighborhood of Minneapolis. That one's weekly for now. It's every Mondays. That's going to be switching next month. My next Shady Baby show, once this podcast is released, will be October 19th.
Perfect.
So look us up on Instagram and Facebook. We get really good local comedians, national headliners. It's really fun.
I'm
going to
go
years.
There at some point. At some point, I'll be there.
You'll be on it.
Bye.
Bye.